Hi, welcome to the Brown and Happy podcast. In our time together, I will share what it means to be brown and happy. For many of us, everything looks good on paper, but we're still not happy and living fulfilled lives. It's time to change this, and I can help. I'm your host, Dr. Payal Patel Gayal. Hello, ladies. I have a treat for you guys today. I have a friend of mine, she's a new friend of mine, that I met at our mastermind for our life coach school. And the reason I went up to her was really fun, and we'll get into the story, but this is Aditi Ramchandani, and she is a master certified coach and an author to the book, The Self-Care Habit. And I'm going to let her introduce herself, but I'm going to tell you guys how we met, and you guys are going to definitely be like, that's such a Payal move. But hi, Aditi.
Hi, Payal. So much fun being here with you today. So yeah, so my name is Aditi. I'm a master certified life coach. I am also the author of The Self-Care Habit. First time author, got published last year, so super exciting. And I'm also a psychedelic guide, so have a little bit of breadth of areas that I work with.
Can you explain that? What does that mean, psychedelic guide?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work with a psychedelic therapy company. So I am a life coach for them. So I help clients who take psychedelic medicines, and I help them process their experiences. So psychedelic medicines are basically ones that help you get into kind of like a altered state of mind, taps into your subconscious, probably areas that you can't reach on a daily basis. So a lot of people come for depression, anxiety, releasing traumas, breakups, things that they're not able to really conquer during talk therapy. So psychedelics kind of speed up the process. They're kind of like a shortcut. People say sometimes that, you know, they've done 10 years of therapy, and in this one psychedelic session, they were able to resolve an issue that took them 10 years that they couldn't resolve in talk therapy. So as a life coach, I help people prepare for their experiences before they take the medicine. And then I also help them process their experiences afterwards, because people get a lot of insights and thoughts and ideas that come up, and they don't know what to do with all this information. So I kind of help them sort through it, help them create habits and goals with the information that they get from their session. So that's a little bit a part of the self-care work that I do, specifically with psychedelic medicines.
That was so fun, because I feel like, okay, as an integrative doc, I know, but not everyone might know, you know, what right. About them. So you guys want to hear the story of how we met. This is very classic. So we're both at our mastermind. I don't know her at all. It was like a day and a half event, but various things happen at these events. One of it is like, we kind of, you know, hear from our, the founder of the school, and then we learn about different topics. We hear people speak. One of the things that happens is, they give awards for like financial growth in the business as, they don't say as a woman, but it was mostly women there. There's a couple of guys, that was lovely. I was in line to get my award, and I talked about this in the last episode, for 100K in my coaching business. And I'm looking in the line, and I'm like, there's no other brown person here. And other brown people got the award, but I was the only person getting it for the first time and speaking on stage. We had to give a one-liner, which was terrifying, but it was fine. And then it was the next day, Aditi, I think it was the next day.
Uh-huh.
I was doing my thing. I was exhausted because, you know, I stayed up late trying to be all BFF with all my lovely Froach friends. And they're giving the awards for master certified coaches, because those who just certified this last time. And Aditi was the first person to go. And I was like, wait a second, like, I got to meet this person, because she's a fellow brown sister. And no one else on stage was brown again. And so I was trying to walk a little bit, because I think my back was hurting, because we sat a lot that day. And then in the evening, and I'm walking, and I suddenly run into Aditi and her friend, and I like just ran up to her. She probably was like, who's this crazy woman? But I was like, oh my God, we have to talk. This is really exciting to see someone else doing amazing work, you know, someone who looks like me. You know, and I think that my audience knows that I am very open, and I say I came out of the closet about coaching brown women, like specifically this year. I struggled with even like naming it because I felt like I wanted to be inclusive. And I realized that when I'm trying to be inclusive, I'm not speaking to my people. And so that's a big part of like my journey. And I had to start owning and loving on me. And once I did that, it's like crystal clear, like this is the work that I do. And the reason that it's important to talk about is because culturally speaking, there's like a couple professions that are approved when we're kids, you know, and my hats are a little bit more specific, but you know, it's like doctor, lawyer, engineer, finance, you know, like the usual things. In my house, it was doctor, 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 because no one else was a doctor. So obviously they'd want me to do something that no one else has done. So that's how I walked up to Aditi, and I ended up like talking to her and her friend for about, I want to say an hour and a half, like
nonstop.
I think I had to leave because I had somewhere to go afterwards, now that I'm thinking about this. But yeah, this is kind of like my journey of how I got into coaching and stuff. So is there anything you'd like to share? Like, how did this happen for you?
Yeah. And I also want to say, you know, Pyle says she was coming up to me. We were actually coming up to each other because I was also like, oh my God, I have to talk to you. And it's so funny because the friend that I was with, Danielle, she was kind of like, oh, I thought you guys were like long lost friends the way you came up to each other. It's like, no, we were just like, oh my God, we have to talk to each other. So that was really cool how we found each other and just moved into the table and just were talking away. So how did I get into the coaching? So essentially, I feel that in my 20s, around my quarter life crisis time, I was really trying to figure out what am I doing with my life. And at that point, I think I was in corporate America in consulting, top consulting firm, you know, doing the thing that, you know, a lot of people do. And so I found myself in this crossroads where I wasn't really feeling that fulfilled with the consulting work that I was doing. Now, I loved marketing, so I was trying to get more into the marketing area, but there was just so many, you know, political hoops that you have to move through to move industries. And then also, if I were to move to a marketing agency, I would have had to start from the bottom. So I was just asking myself a lot of life questions like, And then being in corporate America, I was like, is this what my life is going to be forever? So I'm just going to wake up and go to this job and then come home and eat dinner and go to bed and do it all again. I'm going to do this for 80 years. Like the idea of that was absolutely daunting and terrifying because I felt like I was already living that life. So I couldn't imagine doing the same thing. Even if I were to climb up the ladder, like it still just didn't seem interesting to me. Like I was like, something just doesn't feel good here. And so I discovered the world of online marketing and digital work and also life coaching. And I was like, that sounds pretty interesting. And I always wanted to major in psychology when I was younger. But of course, my parents were like, what are you going to do with a psychology degree? And so I was like, all right, fine. So then I decided to do business marketing, which marketing has a component of psychology in it with consumer research. So I found my way to still have a little bit of psychology and I took a few psychology classes. But I was always that person. I don't know how I got drawn into it, but perhaps it was when I was 20 years old. Actually, I had a medical scare and half of my face got paralyzed. So I had something called Bell's palsy, if you are familiar with it, but basically half your face gets temporarily paralyzed. So it was a very, very terrifying moment. Like I was in my dorm room and essentially the whole right side of my face stopped working. My right eye would not close. I couldn't breathe out of my right nostril and right side of my lips, I couldn't use. So I literally couldn't put my lips around a cup to drink from there. Like I had to use a straw. So I think that is probably one of the big scares that I had where I realized, because the doctor told me that it was from stress, that because of stress, you got Bell's palsy. I was like, how stressed can I be at 20 years old? Like I still have a lot of life to live. So that kind of freaked me out. And I think I definitely started to, I was already into self-help, but I feel like I started seeking it a little bit more after that. I took a stress management class. I started going to Bikram yoga, started doing these kind of wellness things to help me manage my stress. And I went to a lot of I Can Do It conferences run by Louise Hay's company. So I was like definitely already tapped into that world, kind of started seeing these other careers that are out there, but I was definitely usually the only brown person in those rooms as well. And I would try to drag some of my friends to come with me, and they would not unless like I bought the ticket for them. And funny enough, Anita Morjani was one of the speakers at these conferences. So she was like the one Indian Sindhi person. I'm half Sindhi too. So I was like, okay, cool. Up on stage. But then I had heard about life coaching and I decided to check it out. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to become a certified life coach. And so I started researching different companies and I feel like I was just drawn to it. I was curious about it. And I was still in my corporate career, but I thought, you know, let me just check this out on the side. So I found the life coach school with Brooke Castillo, and I was comparing her school with one others. And then I remember just something just drew me to Brooke's school for whatever reason at that time. I really liked it, how it was laid out, like the things that she was teaching. So I decided to get certified. And this was in 2013. And at that time, they did certification on the phone. So we were like on the phone, like learning these coaching tools, 10 of us on the phone with our teacher. And I started to learn how to coach. And I was like, wow, this is some really powerful stuff. I started thinking about my life in ways that I never had. I found myself moving from a victim mentality to an empowered mentality. I felt myself becoming more in control of myself, my emotions, my thoughts. And I really saw that there was something valuable here. So that's pretty much where my journey started. And I started just coaching my friends for fun because I was too scared to like charge for it at that time. But then a year later is when I started doing my first paid sessions. And that's pretty much where the coaching kicked off.
That's so interesting. I like could resonate with so many things, but it was very different for me. I think it's fascinating how we at times have to hit rock bottom to want to change things up, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I think a lot of our, I say froach because it's like friend coach friends, but we kind of
assume. I was wondering, I was like, what?
Okay. About it last time, so that's what I'm saying. But froach is friend plus coach. There you go. All you like fancy mathy people. And so all the froach friends were like, I'll have a story, right? Something happened, you know, even with my clients, I find like, the marriage hits rock bottom. They're burnt out in their career, like a health crisis. Something happens and then they seek help. And I think this is common for humans, but I do want to say specifically for our brown community. And I coach mostly brown women. Like this is the only reason people reach out, right? When things are like not great, you know, not ideal, we're kind of just cruising through. And I think I can, and try to just one more day. And I think the most fascinating thing to me is that we don't have to hit rock bottom to make our life better.
Yeah, it's very true.
And sometimes those of us who did want to help everyone else was like, you don't have to get to where I got, right? Like yeah. It's okay if you have it already, but you know, like, you can want something in life, even if you're not miserable, even if it's not the worst case scenario. And this is what I'm hearing from like your story. And also I've shared a lot of my stuff too, you know, cause everything looks good on paper. And as long as it looks good on paper.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, right? Like it's on the outside, everything is picture perfect, but something just doesn't feel right. Like you may not even be miserable yet, but like something just feels off, like you're missing something. And I definitely felt that in my career. And so I feel like I was at a top consulting job. So many people were like, oh, you're in my dream job. Can you help me get a job there? So it made me feel like I should be more grateful. You know, I shouldn't feel this way. And so I started to fill my cup up through doing a lot of extracurricular activities. And that helped me a lot, but then I burned out from doing too much of that. So I had to reel it back in, but yeah.
So what you said right there, and I just picked up on it because this is something that I hear a lot of in myself and then the people I work with is I should be grateful. I should feel good about this, right? Because it looks good on the outside. And should, and I like to talk about this a lot, it's like should equals could plus shame. We're going through all kinds of, you know, math equations today, but we shame ourselves, right? Because there's a level of like, there's people out there who don't have the education, who don't have the health, don't have the family, don't have all these opportunities. And I do, and I'm not happy, right? And we judge ourselves for not being happy.
Tell me that equation again. I really liked it.
Should equals could plus shame.
Could plus shame. Very good.
Right. So anytime you say should, if you just switch it out with could and check in with your body, it feels so different.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to remember. I've been saying this for so long now. Not take full credit. I don't know where I heard it a long, long, long time ago, but I teach it with my clients in my program because we should ourselves all the time. Right. And the amount of shooting that happens specifically in women, oh my God, it's like exponential
to
men. And then I try to go even deeper into like the immigrant kind of experience, right? Like, oh, my parents came to this country with like $10. Or like they had to clean bathrooms, which is true. This is stuff that, you know, happened to my family so that they could put us through school, right? So now I have the house and the car and the kids and like all this on the outside. And of course you have to be like, care about parents too, right? That's part of the whole equation. And I'm like, but I still am not happy. And I realized that you can want more out of your life. And that doesn't make you selfish or narcissistic. That just makes you human, you know, to want to be happy. And happiness is not something that's far away and unattainable. Like it is attainable for all of us. And we just get to decide right here, right now, how long are we going to go and deprive ourselves?
Yeah.
I know I was like, let's get heavy. I'm like, yeah, but it to me, it hits home. It hits home when we like kind of have to wait till the end. Right.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes I feel like it's, what did they say? Like the pain has to be greater than staying for you to actually make a change. And I was in that state. I was like 60 pounds heavier. I was so depressed. I, even though my job at that point, the project I had got was pretty cool, but I don't know, something, I just felt dead inside. I was like, something is just not working. And I remember one of the first things I did was I was like, okay, Aditi, if you could do anything in the world, what would it be? And I was like, I would love to live in a new city, you know? And that was really also kind of weird. Usually you're supposed to be around the city your family's in and whatever. But I was like, I just want to experience a new city. Like, that's what I really want. So then I ended up applying to grad school at Northwestern, and I wanted to get a marketing degree because remember, I was trying to break into marketing at that time. So I decided to quit my, you know, secure corporate job, which a lot of people freaked out about. And I decided to go for it. And I was like, you know what? Like, this is what I really want to do. And I know not everyone's going to understand. And, you know, grad school felt still some sort of safe way to quit corporate America. But then there was the, oh, but why aren't you getting an MBA? I got a lot of comments about that. And I was like, I don't want an MBA. I want a marketing degree because MBA, you're still going to be like, marketing's only going to be a few classes if you major in it through it. And I already knew that because I had done my undergrad in that. So I was like, no, I want 100% marketing degree where every class is marketing. And people didn't understand that. And people were like, well, why are you going to grad school? You should buy a house instead. And I'm like, I don't want to buy a house. Like the kind of comments I was getting, man, it was a struggle because I felt like it was me against the world in each of these decisions I made. But man, that really jumped off the trajectory of my life, quitting and going to grad school. It was one of the best decisions I ever made.
I love how people think that they know better about your life than you do.
Right, right.
And I know a lot of people are not in their heads listening to this because yes, it's a people thing. I think it's also, let's be specific to our community and the culture we live in. It's like, we're a very community-based culture, right? Like it matters though, even the way we interact with our community, like, do you know Hasan Minhaj? You know Hasan Minhaj, the comedian?
Yeah.
I talk about him a lot on my podcast because this one sentence that he said like blew my mind. And he was talking about his journey and his story about that lo kya kahenge, which
yes, is
what will people think, right?
Yeah.
Sharing about when he wanted to. So Hasan is like Indian Muslim, And then his wife now is like, she's Gujarati Patel Hindu. Like, it's like a very interesting combination. And the story was like, he tried to take his parents to go meet her family. And the one thing that his dad said to him before he went into their house was like, well, what will people think? You know? And I love that kind of, he gave like a little monologue about like, what will people think? Like, where are the people?
Yeah.
Right? Where were the people when this happened to you? Where were the people? Right. And I go back to that moment so many times because I myself have, you know, caught myself being like, what is it going to look like? You know, and also I give myself permission to say, it's okay to have that reaction. And also I don't have to go down that path.
Yeah.
What a gift.
Yeah.
So good. Speaking of gifts, I want to actually hear about your book. So let's, I'm going to shift a little bit because I want to make sure we have enough time for this. So this author, a friend of mine, is going to tell you about her amazing book. And let us know, like, what are we going to hear? What are we going to see when we read the book? Like, what lessons are we going to learn? What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. So funny story, as I graduated from my master's in marketing, I started my coaching business then full time. And I originally started doing marketing consulting for small businesses, did a lot of brand storytelling work. And I found that a lot of my clients were actually talking to me about their life problems more than marketing. Like 80% of the call ended up being about life and stress. So I found myself doing a lot of stress management work. And that's kind of how I transitioned to doing stress management and self-care work. And then I got invited to speak at a company and teach about stress management. And I thought, man, it would be really cool if I could give them a manual at the end of the talk so they have everything in one place, because I can only teach so much in 60 minutes. So that's kind of how this book became born. And before that, I had wanted to write a book for like 10 years, but I just couldn't decide the topic. So this was like a 10-year long project that finally ended up happening, which I'm very proud of conquering, because man, it was quite something to write a book. So the book is called The Self-Care Habit. So essentially, you know, I really wanted to have a manual for people, because a lot of clients told me like, I want to practice self-care, but I have no idea what that means. And so self-care really became a solution to stress management, is how I speak about the work. So in the book, I teach a formula. It's the 4-step formula to ditch the stress and find your flow. So, you know, oftentimes when you're in a stressful moment, you can't really think straight and you don't really know what to do in those moments. So I wanted to have a formula that you can grab and go and just keep in your pocket at any point in time. So in the book, I teach this formula. I give you examples. I walk you through it. I talk through different scenarios, and I give you a lot of tools to help you with each of those steps. So the formula is essentially CARE, which is the acronym CARE. So C is for compassion, having compassion for yourself in that moment. A is for attention. So paying attention to what's really going on a deeper level. And then R is to recharge or retreat. So walking away from the situation, taking a breather, or even engaging in a recharging kind of activity like yoga, a walk, meditation, whatever feels good for you. And then E stands for engage. So engaging with the situation again. So coming back to it with a more clear head, knowing how you want to move forward with it. And part of this was really born through my own really stressful experiences. I feel like I am constantly a never-ending stress ball. I'm also an empath and a highly sensitive person. So I feel like I get stressed a lot over all kinds of things, especially, you know, getting ready and running out the door. One of the stories I share in the book, I was running late to this conference that I was at. And I was so stressed out, and I was like cursing at myself in the car for being late, because I really wanted to get a good seat in the front of the conference. And I was really late, and I was just in such a horrible, angry funk. Like, I was in rage and I just couldn't shake it off. And I was like, man, Aditi, this is not the energy I want to take into this conference. You know, you have a full day to go. Like, I don't want to walk in all angry and pissed off. So I tried to pull in my coaching tools. I tried to check my thoughts. None of it was working. I was in such like a stubborn, like emotional state. And I realized in that moment, there was only one thing I could reach for, and that was compassion. So I reached for compassion and I talked to myself in a very kind way. And I said, hey, Aditi, I know you're struggling right now. I know you're going through a lot, but I'm so proud of you. We made it to the conference. I know you might not get the seat that you want, but guess what? You're still going to be there. You're going to be able to absorb so much amazing information and you're going to meet amazing people. It's going to be okay. And in that moment, my stress broke and I started bawling, crying. And I was like, wow, I really needed compassion in that moment. And then once I got to the conference, someone waved to me who I met just the day before and said, hey, I have an extra seat. Come join me. And it was like right in the front row. And then a few minutes later, someone came up to me from the VIP section with her VIP goodie bag and said, hey, I'm leaving early. I don't really want this goodie bag. Do you want to take it off my hands? And I was like, what? And it was like maybe $300 worth of gifts in that VIP gift bag. So I was like, I'd be honored. Like, thank you. So that story always like really touches me so much because it really showed how you can shift your energy, shift your stress in that moment. And things can really turn around because sometimes we take that grudge, you know, when we fall off the bed and wake up on the wrong side of the bed, as we say, and that energy carries with us the entire day and our whole day ends up being just miserable. So I feel like this one example just always stays with me that, wow, like things can really shift and compassion is that powerful. That's why I made compassion to be the very, very first part of that step. So, you know, people who have read the book have told me that they feel like it's a friend talking to them. It's not like this really hard to read book. So I really wanted to write it that way. It's very readable. It's friendly. It's an easy read. But yeah, if you want to practice more self-care or just want to get some more tools in your belt, that is a great read. And I have a lot of journal prompts in there, a lot of exercises and activities, a lot of which have really helped me in my own journey. And sometimes things that you didn't even think about. Like I had a client tell me that, you know, I'm very much in the self-help world, but I forgot about the idea of being nice to myself. She was like, it didn't even occur to me. She was like, I have empathy for everyone else, but I forgot to have empathy for myself. And your book reminded me of that. And I'm like, wow. That's really good.
I'm so excited for you because when you were talking, I was thinking, well, of course when you're stressed out, you don't want something heavy and hard to like utilize to or a resource, or you want something that feels light, right? And like that's really amazing that you kept that in mind. Intentionally, unintentionally, whatever it was, like it's so important that it's welcoming, you know, not like, I know sometimes there's these like workbooks and I'm just like sitting on my shelf. I'm like, yeah, no, like I don't do that, but what a gift and what a gift that you gave so many people that are going to benefit from this or more importantly, make it okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot of like, oh, I should be self-care is another thing in my to-do list. And the reality
yes.
like that being nice to yourself, I want to say that's also that little voice in your head, right? That's like that, like pushing you, saying things, you know, and I think that's what we kind of learned. It's a learned behavior and we get to reparent and unlearn.
Yes.
From like, you know, the many decades that have passed, right? So thank you so much, Aditi. I really, really appreciate it. I am going to, when I share about the podcast, I'm going to add the link to her book. And if you have any questions for her, of course, you can find her on social media and we'll add all that in the show notes. So any final thoughts, Aditi?
Yeah, I would love to share actually on what you just said about the should and self-care. And I touch on that in the book is a lot of people think like, oh, I didn't go to yoga this weekend. I didn't do my self-care. And I think self-care is less about the things that you're doing and more about the person that you're being. So how are you being to yourself if you didn't do what you wanted to do? If you didn't get to go to the yoga class, how are you treating yourself after that fact? So it's less about the things that you have to do, but rather who you're being as a person. So I would love to leave that as a last note. It's like self-care is about being rather than doing. And that little shift can be profound.
Self-care is about being rather than doing. I love that so much. Guys, this was a gift. Thank you so much, Aditi. We could have gone on forever. I wanted to talk about the loom and all the things, but maybe at some
point. We'll do a part two.
Yes, part two, and we'll talk about more things. But, you know, I just wanted you guys to hear about stress and how it's normal, and also it doesn't have to stay forever. All right, have a lovely day, guys.
Hey, if you're finally ready to start being happy, I invite you to join my list. This is where you'll have access to all my workshops, coaching, and pearls. Just head to my website, www.payalghail.com, that's PayalGhail, and join my list. I can't wait to meet you.